Well, I have tried to learn not to worry about things I can't do anything about.
Amen.
I'm in Song of Solomon, chapter number 8. Song of Solomon, chapter number 8.
Amen.
Going to dedicate the sermon to Dr. Hall over there.
Amen.
I remember him teaching and preaching in the Song of Solomon. It's a beautiful, wonderful book. And I want to skin my ignorance a little bit tonight out of chapter number 8. Good to see you. Glad you're here. I've had tremendous liberty to preach. The nights we've been here preaching, good liberty. And I think I told the pastor the church is attentive by your preaching. A lot of folks are not interested in preaching, but you appear to be wanting to get something out of the Word of God. And that excites me. Amen. My wife likes to cook for me when I'm hungry, and I stay hungry and tired all the time, so I know I'm called to preach. But I like people with an appetite for the Bible, and we'll never exhaust it. I saw things today trying to prepare and study to preach, but I haven't seen the way I saw it today out of my study in the Word of God. So we love it. And we will be in touch with the pastor, whatever the doctors say. I try to pray and ask God. I've already asked him to remove the tumor. And I've asked him to shrink the tumor. I've asked him to do whatever he wants done. And so he can do that. And I don't want to get in trouble with him because I have asked him to take care of it before the surgeons have to. And I believe that's scriptural, don't you? So we've consulted him, and now I'm going to consult the surgeons and see what they say. So you pray for us. I gave my body to the Lord over 50 years ago. It belonged to him.
Amen.
And that don't keep you from getting sick. I don't have a theology that if you do right, you're not going to have trouble and not going to get sick. But I'm telling you, a lot of Paul died sick. And Timothy had often infirmities. So we all going to get sick because of Adam back in that sin. Amen. But anyway, I love Jesus with all of my heart, and I hope he'll let me keep on preaching and do what I don't know anything about that. The tumor, Brother James Jones called me today, and he had heard that it might be a brain tumor, but it's a pituitary tumor, and they don't know what kind it is until they really get in there and see. And we'll go for all I know. It's I guess it's gotten about bigger than my pituitary gland. My granddaughter told me my pituitary is about like a bean. No, I don't know that, but the tumor is about 3/4 inch long, and so there's not too many beans unless it's a butter bean. Amen. But I'm not really worried about it, but I want to know what's going on in my head. Amen. And I wonder what's going on in other people's heads, other people's heads as well. And people have been wondering what was going on in my head for a long time. And I got something to blame it on now, amen. But I'm going to try to preach. Let me say to the church, thank you, Pastor, for having me. Let me come and preach. And you got a good church. Seems like the fellowship is sweet. And take care of the man of God. I hadn't got to really preach to the church about caring for the preacher. But the cost of living goes up every year, 2.5%, 3%, 4%. How long have you been here, preacher?
4 years.
So his salary should have gone up 2.5 or 4 times since, because the cost of living does. So take care of him. Be good to him. I know you've been trained to do that. And so just keep it up. Amen. Be good to the man of God. Well, I'm in Song of Solomon, chapter number 8. I want to read 7 verses out of this chapter and bring you what I feel like God's dealt with my heart about. Oh, that thou wert as my brother that sucked the breast of my mother. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee. Yea, I should not be despised. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. And there's a good verse there about the older ladies, aged ladies, instructing the younger women. Amen. In the book of Titus, I don't know if I'll get to that end of it or not. But verse 2 said, I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine, of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love until he please. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. And that word contemned there, I looked it up. It'd be a disgrace, it'd be scorn, disrespectful, or whatever, if you traded anything for love. Love is the greatest. Amen. Amen. Ask God to help me. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you one more time for Calvary. Thank you for so loving us, so loving me, that you gave your only begotten Son that I might be saved by the grace of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to live in these last and perilous days. Preach the gospel, Father, in these days of turning away and love of many waxing cold. And I'm keenly aware that I need you tonight, so I pray that you'd empty me and purge me and cleanse me and take this earthen vessel and fill it with the Spirit of God. And Lord, preach through me the message for this congregation and those that hear tonight. I pray it saves some lost soul, reclaim some backslider, and kindle a fire in our heart that will burn until Jesus comes again. Thank you what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for honoring the Word of God tonight and standing in the reading of the Scripture. I want to take my thought out of chapter number 8 tonight and do a little bit of exposition down through these verses. The Lord being my helper, I know you're familiar with the Song of Solomon, but if you aren't, it's a love story of Christ and the church. And it's a very intimate love story. I mean, when you get into it, there are some things in there that even some commentators said that a Song of Solomon shouldn't be in the canon of the Scripture. It's so plain and so intimate. I may have said immature, I mean intimate. You get such an intimate relationship in this book that I guess maybe it embarrasses some people, but we ought to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. That's how close we ought to be with the Lord. And He said in Ephesians 5 that husbands ought to love their wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. If we had time to go through the Scripture, you'd find out that Brother Jude said that worship service is a feast of charity. And neighbor, we ought to get in and worship God and let that charity, which is a stronger word than our word love, really. It's really love in action, and love that's got some feet put onto it and things being carried out. But the love story of Song of Solomon is quite interesting, and I want to look at three or four aspects of it tonight, and we'll be through. Like I said, it's a love story of Jesus and this church. And I'm going to preach on that subject tonight about the church loving Jesus and His love in return for her. And I don't know what all the meat the Lord may put on the bone tonight, but I do know, traveling across the country continually, that there's a lot of churches need to fall back in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's one of the signs of the end time, that church that's supposed to be and is the bride of Christ and be in love. And I thought about Josh and is it Katie? I thought about Josh and Katie today, and They're newlyweds, been married a couple of weeks or so, and I'm sure that love will grow and mature into greater things on down the road. I still love my wife, and we've been married 57 years plus, amen, and I hope we're getting to be that way 20 more years at least. But nevertheless, it is a love story, and the church ought to be and should be in love with Jesus. I thought about the book of Revelation. I think I preached out of that over Brother Matthias this past week. But nevertheless, you've got the seven churches in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. And you start out with the first one being the church of Ephesus. And God said in Revelation 2:4, I have somewhat against you because you have left your fallen love. A first love. And he got down into verse 5 or so, and he said, repent and do your first works. And he said, you have fallen. And I think that word there implies they fell out of love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you come down through the churches, and we know it's a picture, I think, of the church age. And you get down to the last church, which I think where we are. We're ending chapter number 3 in the book of Revelation. If you wonder where we are prophetically today, and we're in the church of the Laodicean age. And the Bible said in Laodicea that Jesus is on the outside of the church and he's knocking on the door in chapter 3 and verse number 20. And he said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. And so the church has got Jesus on the outside. And I'm not saying we're a Laodicean church. I think we're the church of Philadelphia, the church that loves him. Amen. But religion and the church has drifted into such a state that they've got Jesus on the outside and you don't have that intimate relationship. And I've been saved for 50 plus years, preaching a little bit over 50 years. And I tell you this, people, it appears to me, just don't love Jesus the way they used to. It seemed like there's a love grown cold, and I've got a lot of scripture I could give you. I won't take time to do that. But Matthew 24, verse number 12, because iniquity shall abound. And have you ever seen iniquity abounding the way it is today? I'm telling you, it's abounding, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so there's still enough grace in these days of wickedness that God's allowed us and chosen us to live in this generation. There is enough grace of God to keep us in love with Jesus. I don't want to be like Solomon, the penman of this book. When he got older, outlandish and foolish women stole the heart away from Solomon and got it away from God and got him distracted on the things of the flesh. And I don't know if his money or if his wisdom or the knowledge that he had, a lot of things happened in Solomon's life, but I'm sure pride had a lot to do with it and probably has a lot to do with the shape that the church is in today. But if we have revival, I believe it'll result in us being in love or falling back in love with Jesus. I want to love Him with all of my heart. And I could give you a lot of scripture. I'm going to try to get to my text if I can. But the greatest and first of all the commandments, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and another place with all your strength. And so we ought to be in love with Jesus tonight. And I hope that you are. Going back to my text in the Song of Solomon, chapter number 8, I'm going to preach tonight with my thought, taking it out of verse number 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? We just sang the old song about being lifted up. Well, he lifts her up out of the wilderness, amen, and begins a journey. And neighbor, that's what the picture is in chapter number 8. If we had time to go through it, in verse number 5, I'm not going to preach all of these points that I jotted them down. In verse number 5, he said, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? I saw a question there. Somebody is looking. Somebody is looking at this bride coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. And so I've got you five or six ales. Somebody is looking. And the world looks at the church today, and they're looking at us like a calf looking at a new gate. And they don't understand us wanting to go to church every night. They don't understand us loving somebody whom having not seen you love and longing to embrace him and get close to him and go home to be with him. They don't understand us. But somebody's looking. I saw that in verse number 5, and they're asking the question, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Well, it's a Gentile bride that God has reached out into every nation on the face of the earth. That's why that missionary was killed there somewhere in Africa today, shot with 8 children and a precious wife. I prayed for them today. I hope that you will. They were there because, neighbor, God so loved the world, and He wants everybody in the world to hear the gospel and be saved by the grace of God. He may call you to go the other side of the world, or He may call you to go next door, but He wants us, neighbor, to get the job done. Amen. And so He's calling a Gentile bride. Now, I don't have time to get into that, but Brother James was preaching and talking and teaching in the book of Acts, and he said that God is calling out a people for His name, and that's the Gentile bride. He saves us and makes Christians out of us. We take the name of Christ. Amen. My wife was a harper, Norma Jean Harper, when I married her. And she's been harping for 60 years. But I changed her name. When she took me as her bridegroom, her name changed to Norma Jean Raines. Are you listening to me? She's an angel. Angels are up in there harping. Amen. So I'll get out of that one, but I got a verse of a scripture or everything. But are you listening? We are Christians. They were first called Christians in Antioch. They claimed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope you're not ashamed of His name. Amen. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. I think we are the city set on a hill that could not, should not be hid from this world. Everybody ought to see Jesus in us. And that's what it takes a lifetime to conform us to His image. I hope I'm more like Him tonight after being saved for such a long time as I was when I got saved back in 1966. Amen. So that makes about 52 years. But somebody is looking. And then in verse number 5, somebody is leaning. She's leaning upon her beloved. We'll get into that. That's going to be my message. And then somebody is leaving. He's bringing her up out of the wilderness. And the Bible said, come you out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and my daughters. I don't think Jesus leaves anybody where He saves them. I know He doesn't leave them in the condition that He finds them in. He changes them, makes them vessels unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and He's got a job for them to do. And so she's leaving the wilderness. Amen. We ought to leave the world behind. And neighbor, serve God. And this day He did send the Gadarene demoniac. Go home to your friends and family and tell them what great thing God's done for you. I'm not saying He doesn't use us at home, but I'm saying she's leaving the wilderness and following her bridegroom. Amen. So somebody is looking. Somebody is leaving. Somebody is learning. She had a whole lot to learn. Look at verse number 2. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. And I'll get to that maybe in just a little bit. But all of us have to learn some things after we get saved by the grace of God. So don't you get discouraged because you don't know everything when you get saved. I don't know everything tonight, and I've been saved over half a century, amen? And I'm still learning, and I want to learn more about Him. And we sang the song, I want to know more about my Jesus. Every time I sing that, I think, come to Sunday school and listen to somebody teach, and come to prayer meeting, listen to somebody teach and preach, and you'll learn more about Him. Get in the book. Read the Scripture. Hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God. And so she's not only leaving and she's not only leaning, but she's learning. I didn't get this out of Dr. Doodledigger's commentary now. The Holy Ghost burned it into my heart. And then she's learning and she's leaning and she's leaving. But I think best of all, she's loving. And I'm trying to get to there in just a little bit. And then she's lasting. It didn't end. It never ceased. It never stopped. And I'm going to go through two or three of those tonight and we'll be through. Look at the bride now. Get a picture in your mind. He's leading her, bringing her up out of the wilderness of sin, and she's intimate with Him, she's close to Him, and she's leaning upon Him, and they're making this journey together, and I would probably venture to say that the mother's tent would probably be the nation of Israel, and Jesus is going back there one of these days, and I don't have time to get into that part of the prophetic part of the message that way, but I want us to take a real close look tonight at this bride leaning upon her bridegroom. That's what the story of chapter number 8, I think, is trying to teach us tonight. Like the church ought to be leaning on Jesus. I want to be there for my wife to lean upon me. I want she, the Bible said in 1 Peter 3:7, likewise you husbands, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Some of you men don't have any power in your prayer life because you've never realized and recognized the fact that your wife is the weaker vessel and that she needs you to lean on. Are you listening to me? God has a vine in this earth, and there are different applications about the vine, but the picture's the church as a vine as well. As Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If we are those branches need something to cling to. And why you build a trellis? Is that what y'all call them in Kentucky? For that vine to grow on and those branches to wrap around and get tied into? Well, that's the way Jesus wants we that are believers tonight just get entwined and tied into Him to where the world can't get us loose. Are you listening to me? My first granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, the first one that told me she loved me, Papa, and I never have gotten over it, and that's been 30-some years ago. But when she got married, I had a grapevine, and I had trimmed my vines, and I went out there, and I gathered up some of those vines. Brother Shepherd and I got me a coat hanger, and I made me a heart out of that coat hanger, and I took those vines and I began to twist and weave and put them together around that frame of a coat hanger that I made, and I made her a heart. And she carried that down the aisle, amen. And she still has it there at the house where she lives and got a little child and another one on the way. And I made that heart because my heart was poured out when she got married, amen, and run off with a hairy-legged guitar picker from somewhere, amen. But nevertheless, are you listening to me? God wants us in love with His Son. Can I ask you tonight, how can you know Him and not love Him? I say this, and if I'm wrong, may God help me when I get to heaven. Everybody that ever get saved by the grace of God, you know, and I can give you scripture for this if you want it, in Romans 5 and several other places, that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When you got saved, your body become the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that Holy Ghost inside of you, He sheds abroad the love of Jesus in your heart. In the love of Jesus, something wonderful. I'm learning to love Him over and over and over and over again. I'm still learning to love my wife after 57 years. I want to be a good, loving husband. We sat down, and may have said this over at Brother Vice's. We sat down last week, maybe within a week or 10 days or so, and we discussed our future and problems and our things that are going on in our life and the ministry and the family and all of that, and we just kind of renewed some things like that. It'll do some of us good to do that every now and then, amen. I think it helps you and me and her to love each other a little more than maybe we had been. We've been awful busy. But I'll get you a picture in your mind, and my introduction might be longer than my message, amen. But look at this bride and bridegroom coming up out of the wilderness, and they are in love. And they're entwined one with another, and she's leaning upon Him. It is a love story. In verse number 1, the Bible said, I would kiss thee. I believe where there's love, there's going to be a little kissing going on. Right on the lips. Now, I've had a few men kiss me on the cheek, and that's scriptural. But I'm not an Italian, and I'm not in Rome, amen? Just kind of bothers me for some old whiskery-faced, hairy-legged man to kiss me. But her lips are sweeter than wine. And his is too, if you read your Bible. Are you listening to me? There's some kissing going on. There's holding hands too in that chair. They're leading and they're holding hands. I saw another one just now when I read it. If I could find it, I'd give you that. This is not my message, but verse number 3, His left hand is under my head. His right hand should embrace me. I think that's telling you which side of the bed to sleep on. Now, how can you get your left hand under her head and your right hand arm embracing her if you're on the wrong side of the bed? Well, some of you are thinking now, your mind's going 50 miles an hour and you done found out what's wrong with your love life. You're sleeping on the wrong side of the bed. How you going to get your left arm under her head and your right arm around her if you're not on this side of her like the preacher did? Josh, you're on the wrong. Would you put your left hand around behind her head and your right arm? And how in the world are you going to do that sitting on that side of her? Gets pretty intimate in Song of Solomon.
Yes, sir.
They love each other.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not talking about sensual, and I'm not talking about worldly things. I'm talking about love.
Yes.
A worship service ought to be a feast of charity. And if charity means love stronger than our word love, if that's what it means, that's what you ought to do. When you come in the gates of God and you come inside the sanctuary, you ought to come in here with your mind on the bridegroom, and you ought to come in here with your affection set upon Him and things above, and you ought to come in here and love Him. That's what worship is all about. I mean, it's worshiping Jesus. We come in here to worship. We leave to serve, all right? Some have to serve here and do different things around the house of God and in a service. I understand that, and I'm getting the message. I'll go as quickly as I can. But I believe if we'd fall in love with Jesus the way that He would have us to, I believe we'd be in revival.
Amen.
Can I give you the Range translation of what I said a while ago in 1 Peter 3:7, Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them. Don't let them on the outside of the church in Revelation 3:20. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. There's something come in the motel a while ago when we was going in, and I said, how you do? And there's a black fella, black something, and had pants on, a shirt on, and some kind of tool. I'm fine. I said, what was that? She said, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's a boy or girl, or a man or a woman. Had long hair. But that's about all I looked when that voice come out. It kind of shell-shocked me. But husbands, love your wife. Are you listening to me? Likewise, you husbands, love your wife. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. I wouldn't marry a woman I couldn't whip, John. I wouldn't marry a woman I couldn't whip. I'm not talking about whipping. I'm talking about manly. She's more manly than I am, then that kind of scares me. Yes, and I have pastored one or two women that could probably whip me. Yes. And I went to police school, learned how to handle myself, and learned how to take care of myself, and how to protect the country that I was loved and was going to take care of. But I tell you, I pastored a couple of women so mean, I believe they'd have body slammed me. I've been gone 12 years, and I stayed there 36 years. This was probably 20 years ago or 25. And here a couple years ago, my daughter-in-law was pumping gas at a service station there close to home, and this woman walked over to her like Godzilla or King Kong, and it was one of my former church members. And she recognized my daughter-in-law as a little red-headed Chris. I don't know if they've ever been up here or not. But Chris said, Papa, they all call me Papa, said, Papa, if she had started to jump on me, I was going to squirt her in the face with that gas hose. I said, good, good. And then flip a lighted cigarette on top of it. She said, Chris Range, do you know what that preacher did one time? Said he said, if he was married to me, he would put my head in a mailbox and put a stick of dynamite in it and set it off. And Chris said, I don't doubt that he didn't say that. He said, I've heard him say crazier things than that. And I may have said it. I don't know. If I did, I'd just playing around, carrying on. I don't carry matches, and I didn't have any dynamite in my pocket. Are you listening to me? Give honor to your wife as unto the weaker vessel. You girls, don't try to be manly. Be a lady. Amen. Let the older women teach the younger women. First Titus 2, 4, 3, 4, and 5. Teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and all of that. But the woman ought to be the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Here's my interpretation of that verse, and I'm really not trying to be funny. But if a man had enough horse sense to give his wife, give honor to his wife, treat her like a thoroughbred, she wouldn't ever develop into an old nag. Amen. Give her her honor as the weaker vessel. She's mothered your children. She's went into the jaws of death. And I'm telling you, she surrendered her life, heart, mind, body, and soul to you and for the family. Thank God for a good woman. Amen. I hope you got in your mind a bride and a bridegroom coming up out of the wilderness. She, in verse number 5, my text verse, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? Here's what leaning upon her beloved, and I'm going to preach tonight for a little while, learning to lean on Jesus. And you listen to me very quickly, learning to lean on Jesus. Here's what it implies to me. She wanted to be as close to Him as she could. Yes, sir. The Bible said through the pen of James, and we know it very well, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. So leaning on Jesus in my text in verse number 5, that implies to me that she wanted to stay and get as close to Him as she could. Stay close to the Lord. Don't let, like Isaiah said, your sin and your iniquity that's separated between you and your God. And His ears got in heaven. You think He can't hear. You think His hand's short, not His arm, but His hand, that He cannot still lift up and say. But Isaiah said the problem is on our part. We've got separated from Him. We've let sin come in. Something drove a wedge in between us and our Lord, our bride and our bridegroom. Something has wedged in there and we're at a distance from Him, and that always leads to trouble. Are you listening? And there's every example from Genesis to Revelation I could give you. I'll guarantee you 50 if we had time tonight. Solomon got in that shape. They stole his heart away, and Peter got in that shape. I think the Apostle Peter got his feelings hurt, and preachers disagree with the fact about Peter sleeping in the garden. Jesus said it was sorrow of heart, and I understand that. But Jesus came back and found him asleep, and about the third time He told him, sleep on. But you remember when I think I mentioned it last night or read it, maybe here, I think it was, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. I think the Apostle Peter got offended, and when Jesus left the garden, being bound and led neighbor into to the whipping post, and Peter is following afar off. Something caused that, whether it was hurt feelings or whether whatever the case might be. But I'm telling you this, you find Peter by the devil's fire, warming himself and cursing and even denying that he ever knew the Lord. So I think we ought to stay close to Him. Amen. Draw nigh to Him, and I've done preach part of that. Holding His hand, kissing Him, staying intimate with Him, loving the church and loving Him the way He loves you. And I want you to notice, I think, that her leaning upon Him in verse number 5, not only to me implies closeness, but I think it implies carefulness. She didn't want or ever intend anything to come between her and her bridegroom. She wanted to be careful. And you need to be careful. The devil is out to get our mind. And if you don't recognize that concerning your children, this world and this society is geared to get the mind of the young people. And get it off of God, get it off the church, get it off of eternity, get it off of spiritual things, get it off of things that really matter, and get it upon temporal things and carnal things and things that won't mount to a hill of beans in eternity. That's what the world system is doing. It's stealing the minds of our young people, gets in their mind and gets in their heart and affects them, neighbor, to where they get careless and they get in trouble. That's the sure as I'm preaching to you tonight. I think when she came out of the wilderness, she knew she needed to stay close to Him, and she said, the reason I want to do it is I want to be careful and not break the heart, disappoint, bring a shame and a reproach or any such a thing upon my bridegroom. He came into the wilderness and got me out and brought me out of there, and I want to be careful and continue to love and serve and live for Him all the days of my life. So I see that in my mind. Are you listening to me? And the Bible tells us to be careful. Paul said in Ephesians 5:15 to walk circumspect. Walk carefully. Watch your walk. Watch where you're going. Lean upon Him. Stay close to Him. And I'm telling you, the world, the flesh, and the devil, the three enemies of our soul and our relationship, they'll have every one of them, or all three of them, or any two of them, they'll have a hard time ever getting between you and your relationship with Jesus if you'll keep leaning on Him. She wanted to be careful and stay close to Him. I get up every morning, whether I feel like it, whether I don't feel like it, I read my Bible. I learned that a long time ago from my old pastor that's in heaven. Now, I got to preach his funeral, but he instilled in us, taught us to rescue our family. And I'm telling you this, he told me to read that book every day. As a matter of fact, the night I got saved, my brother was in the service, one of the three preachers, and he told me I was on vacation up in West Virginia going back to Florida that weekend. And he said, when you leave here and get back, he said, read your Bible. I didn't have a Bible. He didn't give me one. If I'd have been him, I'd have given me one. Amen. But he didn't give me a Bible. But he said, when you get back home, get you a Bible. Get you a prayer life established. Start praying every day. And said, find you a church. And he said, Larry, if I was you, I'd try to find maybe a smaller church. He knew I was in Tampa in the big city where I don't have time to get into all that field. But the Illuminati and everybody else was in Tampa back in those days. That's 50 years ago. But he said, maybe you'd find a church somewhere out in a smaller church. And you get in there and you and Norma Jean get involved. And begin to work and pray and read that Bible. And he said, you can live for the Lord. He answered, he gave me those pointers for my future because I asked him, I said, why? And my mind began to run about some neighbors around my dad's house. I said, so-and-so was supposed to got saved. So-and-so was supposed to got saved. And they're out drinking and they're not even in the house of God. I said, why is that? He said, get you a Bible, get you his prayer life, and get in church and stay busy. What he was telling me, just keep leaning on Jesus and stay close to him. Amen. So I see in my mind, Brother Hall, I see her closeness. She wanted to stay close to him. I see her carefulness. Now listen, I also see in verse number 5, I see maybe she knew that there might be some weaknesses in her life, and she knew that if she leaned on Jesus, she would never fall because of her weakness. And there's not a soul listening to the sound of my voice tonight here or out yonder in the airways tonight or in the future or whenever. There's not a one of us that are not weak in the flesh. We're weak. Paul said he was. David said he was in the Psalm. David the giant killer. And David the greatest military king that Israel ever had. Those men knew that they were weak, and we know David got in trouble because of his weakness, and I may not get that far tonight, but you listen to me. She knew that she could be weak in her flesh, and she knew that she needed to lean on Jesus, that she would not bring a shame and a reproach. I have never in my life, and I've been saved a long time, I've never seen so much carelessness, and men that are in their neighbor, they get so careless and their weakness gets the best of them. If you can't handle money, let your wife handle it. Well, Josh, I don't know your personal life. I love you, family. I'm glad our paths crossed years ago. But I know some young men, and I pastored some young men, they couldn't handle 50 cents a week.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
They couldn't handle money.
Right.
If you can't handle money, and let your wife handle your money.
Right.
That got kind of quiet. Your wife can count to 10. She's got, well, maybe 20. She's got 10 toes, too.
Yeah.
But I know men can't handle money. I pastored some. If they had a good week and made $400, $500, $600, $700 a week, well, they wouldn't work for 2 or 3 weeks till it was all gone. But there will come a rainy day one of these days down the road. Lay by in stores. God prosper you, because it might be a day you might not be able to work. Some men can't control their eyes. They can't control their flesh.
Right.
And that's why they get in trouble with the women in the church. Some preachers can't do that.
That's right.
My wife knows how to control that. She said, I'll kill you.
Amen.
I said, you ain't big enough to kill me. She said, you got to go to sleep sometime. I've kept my nose clean for 57 years, buddy. You listen to me? Go to sleep and then wrap you up in a sheet and beat the devil out of you with a kraut maul. That'll fix you. We all got weaknesses.
Yes, sir.
Now, some of you don't think you have. You think you have probably mastered it.
Yeah.
The Apostle Peter, sleeping in the garden again, what did Jesus say to him? What? Could you not watch 1 hour? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You got the same flesh you had the night you got saved. If you've been saved 50 years or 60 years, you've still got the same flesh that you had the night you got saved. You ought to mortify it. I don't have time to deal with it. Mortify the deeds of the body. Put it to death. And die, 1 Corinthians 15:31, do that every day and do it of the morning.
Amen.
And I said this somewhere years and years ago, die daily, and maybe the preacher quoted it or somebody did, die daily and don't be all day doing it.
Amen.
Get it done of the morning. Get up and get on your knees before God and say, Lord, guide me today.
Amen.
Help me. Mortify the deeds of my body. And then he said, crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. And I've heard all kinds of messages about that. And I've seen them illustrate why you can't crucify yourself. If you put one nail over here, how are you going to get one nail over here? Well, Dumbo, I don't even have time to deal with you. Amen. He is talking about your flesh. It's going to get you in trouble. And you better put it to death. You better put it on the altar. And you better offer it as a sin offering unto God and present your body a living sacrifice. Here's what I got out of. Mortify the deeds and crucify the flesh with the affections. I say this, get the victory over the deed. And neighbor, if you'll do that, here's how you do it. You get the victory over the desire. You don't let a foolish thought come through your mind and hibernate and build a nest there and neighbor raise a family in your mind, because this thing of going on, the things we're seeing going on today and things we hear about, they did not happen in an instant. They started with the lust of the eye, and they get into the mind through the eye gate or the ear gate. Brother Sammy Allen said a man's affected by what he sees and a woman's affected by what she hears. I have read commentators that said that same thing, and I guess that may be true. And you men tell your wife you love her, it may affect her a little more. But they say a man or our makeup, God made us that way, we're affected more by what we see. That's why, brother, I turned my head. We have seen a sight here in the last day or two. I'll be honest with you, and I used the illustration, 10 pound of turnip greens in a 5 pound poke. But that poke that turnip greens was in, that thing was, it looked like it had come out of Hollywood off of a Hollywood street in a magazine. That was a pretty-looking young woman. And she had pantyhose on and running around town. Preacher, did you look closely? No, when I got a glance, I turned my head. If a man looks on a woman to commit adultery with her, he's committed adultery already in his heart. So I'm not going to look at him. You can't walk around with your eyes closed. You'll get run over by an 18-wheeler. But I tell you one thing, you can turn your head. Some women just don't have enough sense to dress right. And this is one of the cleanest churches I've been in for a long time. Thank God for you, preacher, and for preacher. Somebody's preached around here, and the ladies know how to adorn themselves in modest apparel. So this bride is coming up out of the bridegroom. She's leaving. She's learning. She's leaning on the Lord, her bridegroom, because she wants to be careful, and she knows that she's still got a weakness in her flesh. Peter, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? The spirit indeed's willing, but your flesh is weak. I'll never deny you, Lord. Well, you let the rooster crow in just a few hours. He's already cursed and denied that he ever knew the Lord. So my message is this, be careful. Stay close to Him. You'll overcome your weakness. We all don't have to fall.
Amen.
And also, I saw leaning on her for closeness and carefulness and weakness. I also saw weariness. You ever get weary? I do. You ever get weary, tired? I've had two preachers call me this weekend since I've been up here. I'm tired. I don't know what I'm going to find out Thursday morning, but I get tired. My wife asked me what was wrong with me today, and she didn't understand. I said, I'm tired. I'm anxious about preaching. I'm anxious about Thursday. I'm not really worried about it. God's going to take care of that. But how can you get that off your mind? So I get weary sometimes. The Bible said, be not weary in well-doing, in due season you'll reap if you faint not. But also in Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. She had learned that she could faint. She had learned that she could get so weary that she couldn't make the journey on her own. And so she said, I'm going to lean on Jesus. I'm going to lean on Him. He's the strength of my life. If you read the Psalms, you'd find out David said this. David the giant killer. He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? Your strength is in the Lord. Are you listening to me? So I see she could possibly thought about weariness. And then lastly, let me get through. I see sureness. I think she wanted in her heart. She said, I love Him. He's got me out of the wilderness. I'm learning. I'm trusting. I'm tired, but I'm leaning on Him. And I want to be sure, for the word ness, our sureness. She said, I want to finish what He saved me to do. I want to finish this journey and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Look down in verse 7. Well, look at verse 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon thine heart. That's what I saw a while ago about hands and kissing and hugging, and now the heart's involved. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. I like to run around with my wife. Josh, what do you think I look like? I thought about you today. You think I'm 4 foot tall, or you think I'm 6 foot two? I thought about him. You hear things, hear voices, and you like the radio preachers, and you hear them, and then you see them, and you were completely wrong. I thought about you today, Josh. I love him. I'm glad I got to meet him years ago, too. But she said, I want to be sure, and I'm like a seal upon mine arm. I don't think that's a tattoo. Are you listening? My brother went in the Marine Corps. He got him a tattoo of a Hawaiian woman with a grass skirt on. And they put that thing where he could move his wrist like that, and that Hawaiian gal there in a grass skirt, she'd dance on those leaders there in his hand. He used to brag about that. Everybody looked. Man, I was a little boy. I looked. He died about 2 years ago. He was 86, maybe, 85, 86. And that beautiful Hawaiian young woman that he had tattooed on there when he was about 20 years old, you know what she looked like? She looked like Mr. Clampett's wife. That grass skirt had done rotted and that skin had sagged, and I'm telling you, there wasn't nothing moving on there like it used to. Don't mark up your body.
Amen.
Preacher friend of mine told the women, said, do not get a tattoo. And the next Sunday, that week, two women went out and got themselves tattooed up and come in and got in the choir that next Sunday morning. I wasn't their pastor, amen. Look at verse 6, 7. I'm trying to quit. Verse 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. I said I run around with my wife. I'm a country bumpkin, Josh. I'm a hillbilly country boy in West Virginia. And people look at me and kind of wonder and shake their head. But when I got my wife with me, oh, they said, there's a man that's got some sense. There's a man that knows what he's doing. Look at the woman he's got. She's a Southern. My wife, Josh, is a Southern lady. And they think I'm so smart, intelligent, and because of the woman I married. So she's an asset to me. Are you listening to me? She's a seal upon my arm. I want church to be like that to Jesus.
Amen.
That's what your pastor wants. That's why he preaches like he does. Love. Look at the middle of verse 6. For love is strong as death. And we know how strong death is. But love is strong as jealousy is cruel as the grave. Look. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Verse 7, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Look at this love. They are in love. Would you agree with that? Coming up out of the wilderness, and the world, and the flesh, and the devil, according to the flood waters in verse number 7, the waters can't put it out and the floods can't drown it because, neighbor, they're staying close. They're leaning on each other. They're loving each other. And she's going to be sure she completes the journey. She's going to be sure she doesn't faint or fall or fail. Now, some of us have. Can I say this? Falling is not fatal and failure is not final. If you did slip and fall or you did fail, ask God to have mercy upon you. That's what revival is all about. Get up and ask God to have mercy upon you and help you and lean upon Him. And I'll guarantee you His arms are open unto you and He'll take you back just like the man of God did his wife.
Amen.
In the Scripture, Gomer and all of that going on back there in Hosea. Well, if I like verse number 7, I'm through. Waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. If you have let something steal that love and that closeness away from you and Jesus, you've made the most foolish mistake you have ever made in your life. You're down. If you traded everything you had to keep that love, or if you could gain the whole world and lose that love that you ought to have for Jesus, well, that's the most foolish thing you'll ever do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Don't let the love die out in this church.
Amen.
Keep worshiping.
Amen.
Come in here to worship.
That's right.
Amen. Doubts and hurt and pain, division, everything's going on in churches today, I think, that has put some fire out. And I think some of those floods and that flood water and storm water that gets in our life, it's keeping us from loving Jesus when we come to the house of God. Give your attention to the songs when you sing them.
Amen.
They were written out of storms and trials and bloody seas and tragedies. And people, God has had those pinned down and give us these old hymns. And you got somebody up here trying to get some song. Our brother prays over the song service. And the preacher prays to prepare a meal for you every time he comes to the pulpit. Come in here to worship the Lord. Get your mind upon Him. Make love to Him. Tell Him you love Him. Get intimate with Him. And you'll leave here saying, thank God for the house of God.
Amen.
How many times has it rescued me?
Amen.
How many times has it pluck me out of the as a brand from the burning, and the storm water's about to wash me overboard or off the deck, and I'd get a glimpse of Jesus and begin to remember where He brought me from and how we had made the journey together all these years, and it wants me to go on. Makes me to go on. Keeps me going on.
Yes, sir.
Here's what's going on in my mind. You know what the devil told me today? He said, you've tried to live. Well, I try to live clean. I try to live right. We've dedicated everything we got to God, ever had to God, ever will have to God. Gave Him our children. Tried to train them up for the Lord. And here's what the devil told me today. It may have me a little upset, Mr. Raines. That's a good payday, isn't it? You're getting a good payday, preacher. Are you listening? Got a tumor in your head? It's bothered my balance, I think, a little bit, but I'm 78, going over 78 years old. I don't think I'll be like a 20-year-old running back, do you? But I can still do pretty good, amen. I can run away from her, keep her from knocking me in the head when I have to. He said, ain't this a good payday for you? You've given your life to the Lord. Y'all tried to be clean, tried to raise a family for God. How's that amazing grace treating you now, preacher?
Yeah.
I said, why don't you take two Alka-Seltzers and go back where you come from?
Amen.
You ever talk to Him? He ever talk to you? He'll get a whisper in your ear and get on your shoulder, and He'll ride your bike if you'll provide a saddle for Him to ride.
Yes, sir.
But if He rides mine, He's going to be bareback because I'm going to buck and kick and carry on and neighbor turn a flip or two. I love Jesus more than I ever loved Him. And whatever the doctor says Thursday, I'm still going to be loving Him on Friday.
Amen.
It doesn't make a bit of difference. I'm His. He's my bridegroom. I love Him. And I'm going to finish the race that He's led me out of the wilderness to run. And I'm going to walk with Him until that last step shall be taken.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Learn to lean on Jesus. Would you do that? Thank you, preacher, for letting me preach. You have to learn a lot of that, church. You have to learn to do that. She did. But you can learn it as well.